You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go straight back to Sean Bergen right now. This is, of course, the show before Christmas, so we're working in those Christmas songs. Got to do it Saturday, December the 20th, as you're listening to the Political Cesspool
like
radio program.
Hard.
Yeah, kind of like in Die Hard. But we are here in our flagship studio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AMFM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online and around the world. But, you know, I had a show so busy, I could barely fit it all in. And then just before showtime, Scoop calls me with this breaking news. And we are so fortunate to have with us Sean Bergen, veteran newsman, reporting live from the scene in New York, where apparently a black male who seemed to be motivated by the narrative advanced by the Obama administration, the Justice Department, the establishment press, according to his media postings, we draw these conclusions, committed what seems to be an execution-style double murder of two New York City cops who were just sitting, in their car on their break, had no confrontation with this man at all before taking his own life. Again, Sean Bergen there on the scene. Sean, what are you witnessing now? We've had about 10 minutes since we last spoke with you, carrying this over from the first hour. What's the scene on the ground there in New York? Has the press conference begun yet? What are you seeing?
I'm outside Woodhull Hospital now, where there is a sizable media presence, and we just heard from Mayor de Blasio and Police Commissioner Bill Bratton, his voice shaking with emotion as he detailed what happened here earlier this afternoon, the horrific shooting of two young police officers sitting in a squad car on their break outside a housing project they had brought in as part of an initiative to improve community relations between the police department and the local community. They apparently were ambushed, shot execution style by a man now identified as 28-year-old Ismael Brinsley, who is apparently from Baltimore. We understand that he shot his ex-girlfriend this morning and then posted threatening messages on social media. The Baltimore police apparently were in the process of alerting the NYPD that this guy was on his way to New York with the intention of killing officers. From according to Commissioner Bill Bratton, he says that they were just receiving that fax from the Baltimore PD when this man, Brinsley, walked up behind two officers sitting in their car and shot them execution style in the head at point blank range. Those cops have now been identified as Wenjian Liu and Rafael Ramos, a 40-year-old veteran of the police department. We understand Liu was only married a couple of years ago, and apparently Ramos was the father of a 13-year-old son. He leaves behind a wife and a 13-year-old son. That gunman, Brinsley, fled into a nearby subway station. He was chased there by police, ran down the platform and with a gun in his hand, a crowded platform, before he put the gun to his head and blew his own brains out on the subway platform.
And what is so disgusting about this, Sean, is that in addition to this pointless loss of life here of these officers, is that, you know, if I held my breath for Obama to come on and stand in solidarity with these innocent victims, you know, I would die. And we have reason to believe that he specifically targeted New York police officers because of the irresponsible way in which the media presented the Eric Garner situation. Am I drawing a conclusion?
Well, if we go by his posting on social media, he was certainly influenced and motivated by the deaths of Eric Garner and Michael Ferguson. Now, I mean, we can by extension maybe look at the media's role in this in fanning the flames and giving a platform to protesters and this cabal that exists between the likes of de Blasio, Sharpton, you know, these leaders of the civil rights industry, and their tight connection to the White House and the U.S. Injustice Department led by Eric Holder as being motivators. I mean, there's a lot of people out there today, a lot of smart people, a lot of credible people who are saying all of these individuals now have blood on their hands. There's a rising movement now I'm seeing on Facebook calling for the resignation of Mayor de Blasio. There's a rising movement here calling for him to be banned from the officers' funerals. Earlier in the week, we did see forms distributed to law enforcement officers here in New York. They could voluntarily sign this form and thereby ban the mayor and the city council speaker from their funerals if they were killed in the line of duty. And I can tell you from my own experience of living and growing up in New York that I have never, ever in my life seen this kind of hostility between a police department and City Hall. This is virtually unprecedented, what we're seeing here unfold. And a lot of people, you know, saw this coming. You know, they saw de Blasio for what he was, you know, a guy with very heavy leftist, Marxist leanings, even. You know, he went to Cuba on his honeymoon when you weren't even allowed to go there. He's been wrapped up with the Sandinistas in the past. I mean, this guy comes from he's without question the most left-wing mayor we've ever had in New York, and he has a very, very cozy relationship with Al Sharpton. Sharpton's own communications director, Rachel Nordlinger, who I got to know over the years while working as a news reporter here, she left Sharpton's National Action Network and went to work for de Blasio's wife as her chief of staff. She has since left that post after her son was arrested in a known drug spot and after it became public that Nordlinger lives with a guy who has a very serious rap sheet of, you know, and has taken, you know, there's a very anti-cop sentiment and mentality and mindset that seems to permeate their whole world. And I'm talking about this cabal that exists between the mayor, the liberal leftist news media, and their people in the race business.
Well, Sean, this is Keith Alexander. I'm co-hosting with James tonight. I think it goes higher than de Blasio, and if it doesn't go any higher than de Blasio, I think we're missing the point. The tone for this whole conversation.
You're absolutely right about
exactly.
That. Exactly. And, you know, when you look at the connection between de Blasio and Sharpton and Obama, I mean, the idea that this guy Sharpton has visited the White House dozens of times, I mean, to give this guy credibility it's just mind-boggling. It is so utterly astonishing. And de Blasio was guilty of doing the same here in New York. I mean, it was several months ago that he held a press conference in which he had, you know, the police commissioner and Al Sharpton, you know, on an equal plane, sitting at the platform together. And, you know, the symbolism of that, the optics of that are lost on New Yorkers, I can assure you.
Well, let me tell you, from our vantage point here in Red State America, when you say de Blasio is the most leftist mayor in the history of New York, that boggles our minds, because we remember John Lindsay, Dinkins, and a Rose Gallery of others. We'll be back with you after these words from our sponsors.
Sean, I want to thank you for calling in. We are going to continue to cover this, but we want to give you the opportunity to do your job there, to do your work, and I know you're going to have subsequent radio interviews this week as a result of where you are and what you're doing. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
You got it. I'm going to go see what I can find out, all right?
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, you know, listen, this has been an incredible night for the political cesspool. You know, 10 years into this, to have a professional, a man who has made his career as a television news reporter, Sean Bergen, reporting live from the scene of a breaking national news story where two New York City police officers were murdered execution style from a man apparently motivated by the narrative given by the Obama administration about how all cops are just out to kill black people. A black man has now killed two cops in retaliation. You know, there has to be, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere. I wonder how much responsibility for this Obama and Holder will assume. I assume it will be very little. Well, Keith, you know, as I said, we had a very busy show, but when you have the opportunity in live talk radio to have a man of Sean's stature on the scene from a story that is national news, and to have the political cesspool and Liberty News Radio scooping the national media on certain angles of this story that no one else dare touch, I guarantee you no one has talked about the race of this perpetrator and those social media postings. I would be very surprised. Let me put it that way. I never say never, but I'd be very surprised.
We don't call Peter Scoop for nothing. He's Scoop Stanton, and he's really lived up to his name tonight.
Yeah, we got to give all the credit for this to Scoop Stanton. In fact, when he told me about this, he texted me a little bit before the show started, and I told him that we were so busy tonight it would be tough for me to work it in, but he was persistent and adamant. And I said, okay, if you think it's a big story. But see, I didn't know how big the story was. Well, apparently – well, Scoop knew. That's why he's Scoop. So thanks to Scoop and Sean for, running roughshod over me and for working this into a busy program. We're going to have to sacrifice a few of the things I had intended to cover tonight, but it's worth it to have the political cesspool be a voice of record on a breaking news story with an asset on the ground. Keith, obviously you were listening to that interview as I was. We wanted certainly to let the man on the ground, Sean Bergen, to be the star of it because, you know, to have somebody there is worth its weight in gold. What do you draw from it? What commentary can you offer?
Well, let me make a couple of comments. First of all, the people of Bedford-Stuyvesant, the Fox News reporter, could not find a person that lived in Bedford-Stuyvesant that wasn't thrilled and elated by the fact that two cops had been killed by a black man. Now, they apparently don't like the cops in their neighborhoods. So consequently, what I would say is be careful what you wish for, Bedford-Stuyvesant. Your dream may come true. You know, the cops are in a no-win situation here. They go in and protect the few law-abiding citizens that there may be in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and I'll say that without any backtracking at all, and they're going to be vilified for going in there and enforcing the law. If they don't go in there, they're going to be vilified again by the same people. So they can't win. They're supposed to cast some type of magic spell over Bedford-Stuyvesant, sprinkle their fairy dust, and suddenly turn every criminal in Bedford-Stuyvesant into some docile, smiling, law-abiding citizen. Bedford-Stuyvesant is not a hotbed of criminal activity because of anything that the police do. The police go in there and try to enforce the same laws in Bedford-Stuyvesant that they do in the Upper West Side or in Greenwich Village or in Great Neck, Long Island. And they just seem to have more criminals there. And lo and behold, what a surprise, there's another significant difference between Bedford-Stuyvesant and those other places I mentioned. Mainly, the population of Bedford-Stuyvesant is primarily black. When are people going to stop wearing blinders, sticking their head in the sand like an ostrich, and realize that race does matter? This is a racially driven conversation in America, and we may be witnessing the beginning of a racial meltdown in America with this type of situation. Now, de Blasio is terrible. He is a leftist. But then, with the exception of Rudy Giuliani, what mayor of New York in the past 70 years has not been a liberal? I remember John Lindsay. I remember Ed Koch. I remember David Dinkins. They're just one after another. De Blasio is possibly the most extreme, but that's exactly what you'd expect.
It just goes to show how liberal and Marxist they are if they can make a guy like Giuliani look conservative.
Yeah, I know it. And see, this is what I mean. This is why our ancestors wanted to secede from blue state America. We don't want to be unequally yoked with a place that considers Rudy Giuliani the quintessential conservative. He's a liberal Republican. But by New York standards,
he
may as well be George Wallace.
Yeah, I hate to laugh, but, you know, when you're talking about the subject matter we're covering right now and working it in live and on the fly. But this is, you know, what's so surprising to me, I think I was reflecting as you were offering that commentary, Keith, is that when you take into account just how much Obama and Eric Holder and the media have fanned the flames of racial tension by advancing this narrative that cops are just out to kill innocent, you know,
black men,
black teens like Michael Brown, who, you know, again, is the most open and shut case of self-defense you could possibly script. But when you take into account how much they have tried to agitate the black community against whites and against police officers, it's amazing that this is the first time we're talking about a murder that apparently would have been motivated by that.
Well, I'll go even further than that. I would say that the blood of these two police officers is directly on the hands of the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, and President Obama. They could have been moderating influences. They could have tried to talk sense and moderation to extreme people like Louis Farrakhan and Al Sharpton. But instead, they're in the Amen chorus with them. They're just members of the choir. In fact, they're leading the choir. So consequently, they've sown the wind and they're reaping the whirlwind, as it says in the Bible.
Well, again, folks, the fact that the Political Cesspool has been able to offer you breaking coverage live from the scene of this national news story is it goes to show the power of the alternative media, what we're doing here with Liberty News Radio. You know, certainly we're each and every week we tackle stories from a perspective, an honest and right-thinking perspective that the establishment media will certainly never give you. But to be able to provide you coverage like this is something unique even for us.
Well, I wonder if we're going to see more copycat killings like this throughout the nation. You know, basically the Obama administration and the left has cloaked the resistance to the police, which is what they're portraying criminals to be, as righteous and righteously indignant. You know, this is what happens when irresponsible people are in charge of this nation, and we definitely have an irresponsible leadership beginning with the President of the United States at this time.
Well, we will continue to cover this. And again, we were talking about these instances of racism that the Obamas complain about, being asked for help at Target, being asked for help at a black tie gala. You know, when it comes to serious matters, not only are they mute, but I believe that they play a hand and they're somewhat culpable. Well, we've covered this now, folks, for the better part of four segments. We are going to transition, but we will keep you posted. And we will have a follow-up from Sean Bergen. God bless Sean Bergen. I want to thank him and Peter Scoop Stanton again for forcing this on me. And I mean that in the best possible way. This show would have been deprived of something very meaningful if we hadn't had their contribution.
You know, this is the most important thing that we've broken since we broke the information about Obama's birth certificate.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, it has been an unusual show tonight. The political cesspool breaking news coverage with professional television newsman Sean Bergen live on the scene in New York, where this black man has killed two police officers, execution-style double murder, motivated by the narrative as put forth by Obama, Holder, and the media. We've covered this for the last hour now, and we are going to move on to some other things. This is not, though, the first time, as Keith was mentioning right before that last commercial break, that the political cesspool has broken incredible news or had live on-the-scenes coverage. We, at a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting a few years back, there in the crowd was Tim Adams, who was a former chief elections clerk in Honolulu, Hawaii, who had firsthand knowledge about the Obama birth certificate scandal. And he broke his story on the political cesspool and went on to become a major news story for several weeks, even a couple of months. WorldNet Daily and Drob Corsi worked close with him. So every now and then, even though we are here to talk about certain issues,
have a once-a-week show.
But we... we have broken through, and it's going to be more and more often. We are getting bigger. This network is getting bigger, and tonight what happened with the coverage that we had live on the scene in New York outside of the hospital where de Blasio is having this press conference was just absolutely phenomenal. I don't want to beat that anymore. We've talked about it. We will continue to cover it and offer follow-ups in subsequent weeks. But speaking of the Council of Conservative Citizens, you know, we're working in Christmas music tonight. Transitioning from some of this heinous stuff and trying to refocus to the extent that we can on this blessed week that is Christmas week, we're going to have a little fun here for a moment. Certainly a departure from the previous four segments. But we have on the phone now a very good friend of mine, Earl Holt. Earl is now the president of the Council of Conservative Citizens. And
a stalwart in the battle.
A stalwart in the battle, in addition to being a musician. A musician, and he has prepared for us a Christmas song that we think you'll enjoy. Earl, what do you got for us?
James, all I can say is that was about the best segue I think I've ever heard. You ought to be on a network news, boy. Merry Christmas to you guys, all of you there, and your lovely family, too, James.
Well, Merry Christmas to you as well, Earl.
Thank you, sir. I have the song that I sang last year, and I was kind of hoping maybe we could make a bit of a tradition out of it. It's called Barack Obama Land.
And I believe we should make it a tradition, Earl, and Barack Obama Land is sung in the style of Winter Wonderland?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, you have a good
memory. It's your dime, your dime, your dance floor, my friend.
All right. I just, James, I just want you to know I shaved for this performance.
Well, you got a face made for radio, Earl.
All right. Commie rats, are you listening? Past your graves, you've been whistling. A terrible fright and horrible plight, living in Barack Obama land. Gone away is your health care. Here to stay, Obamacare. You blunder along, no matter how wrong, defending Barack Obamacare. The Yankee government, it may offer health care and pretend that it will really work, but we can't keep our doctors or insurance. To have said so, one must really be a jerk. Later on, he'll retire when his term does expire. He'll laugh unafraid at the mess that he's made designing Barack Obamacare. Media whores have fashioned him an image and pretend that he is really wise. They'll ask, don't you love him? We'll say, no, man. He's just another commie in disguise. When it fails, you'll be crying. Blame George Bush with your lying. You'll posture and bray the communist way that's living in Barack Obama land. Yeah, we're living in Barack. Yeah, we're living in Barack. We're living in Barack Obama land.
Here, here.
Here, here. Okay, right. There you go.
You know, that's funnier the
Did
second
you talk
time
about
around.
Agent today and sign that contract.
Oh, my
Yeah,
goodness.
We got it ready. I mean, it's ready.
Well, you did get radio airplay just then, even in an a cappella form. But I think that is better the second time around, Earl. I remember you singing last year.
We need a Jew's harp in the background, Sam said.
James, I have a confession to make. I was more than slightly intoxicated last year, and this year I was not. So there we are. All right, brother.
Just kidding, FCC. Hey, he's just kidding, FCC.
I don't care what the FCC thinks.
No. Of course not. Well, listen, Earl, thank you for offering that into our Christmas special here. Yeah, Keith, is it improper of us to have a moment of levity after the horror that we've been covering?
No, you've got to do something to... That's right, yeah. The thing is, we're living in an alternative universe now. We're living in a world that our parents could never have conceived with the President of the United States supporting cop killers, basically. And we need to be the child that tells the emperor he has no clothes to unmask what's really happening and why it's happening. And this is by design. I think it was brought out over the break that that Michelle Obama brought out this same story about the indignity of being asked to reach something above the head of some other shopper last year, and she thought it was funny and amusing. Then now it's a great indignity. See, they're going through the same playbook, but they're ramping things up. They're trying to stir the pot of discontent, and they're doing it.
And we want to give credit for that addendum to the story, which was also covered. I mentioned I learned about it on Sam Bushman's show earlier in the week on Wednesday, but with the president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, I should make mention of the fact that this story was also covered at cfcc.org. And Kyle did a great job of writing it up. But yes, the follow-up to that was sent in to us by a female listener in Missouri. Her name is Kim. And yeah, she said that this story was told in 2012 by Michelle Obama about going to Target, and that it was just a great thing that she wasn't recognized and she was able to help somebody. But now she retells it before Christmas 2014 to People magazine, and it's a great racial indignity. Well, anyway, there are organizations out there who see things the right way and to which you can belong if you want to make a difference. And with the president of the CFCC on to entertain us tonight, in addition to all the good work he does,
and to educate us,
in addition to all the work he does, the other 11 months of the year.
All right.
Eggnog free tonight. Well, listen, Earl Holt was with us. Thanks for the song, Earl. And folks, listen, if you've not already become a member or a contributor to the Council of Conservative Citizens, rectify that tonight just in time for Christmas, cfcc.org. Thank you, Earl, very much. God bless you, and Merry Christmas. I guess Earl has gone on to his next.
Earl's back in his eggnog now.
Earl is back to his, you know, he is, you know, on the circuit with this new song and must have gone on to his next engagement. You know, when you're dealing with a celebrity like Earl, you really have to stick to strict time constraints and then.
With a name like Earl, he ought to be on the Grand Ole Opry anyway.
Well, Bill Rowland called him the last Earl of Shaw. I still don't quite know. Do you have any idea what that means?
No, and unfortunately, we can't consult Bill.
It'll be their little secret. Well, anyway, we needed that. I do think we needed that, and I'm glad that Earl provided us with a departure from the dreariness. If you can't have a moment of
levity,
goodwill and levity and happiness 5 days before Christmas, when can you have it? And we've been dealing with some deep issues.
And it's very bleak out there, unfortunately, people. You know, we don't call this show the political cesspool for nothing.
Tell them the reason why it is. Yeah, because I've had people email me from time to time saying, you know what, you should have named it something a little more inspiring. Well, I think certainly our work is inspirational enough. There was a reason for naming it the political cesspool.
Yep, this is a cesspool, and it's getting murkier and fouler by the day. This is just the latest example. This particular news story is something that would have been incomprehensible in our father's world, but this is the new improved world brought to us by the left.
Folks, when we come back, you know, again, here we have the situation in New York. What do you think the Southern Poverty Law Center is concerning themselves with? The hate tourism that was brought to Tennessee in October by the political cesspool. And let me tell you something, Tennessee really banked in. I mean, they really balanced the budget based upon the number of people we brought.
Right. We rang the cash register for the whole state of Tennessee. Right?
We really just shifted the balance of the finances of the state of Tennessee when we had our event here in Tennessee in October. Well, that's what the SPLC would have you to believe. We're going to tell you what they had to say about us right when we come back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze-Dry Guy's giant factory-authorized sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze-Dry Guy. Factory-fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the giant factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
You open the floodgates. I hope I can make it through this. Consider all
the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art.
The power of Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, it is a powerful thing, and we are basking in its glow tonight here in the Political Cesspool, as we always do, playing some of the classic Christmas carols. That was actually an old-time gospel song there. I don't know.
I remember Elvis had it on his first gospel album.
That was good enough for
the king.
Yeah, right. It's good enough for Christmas tonight, too. I love those old-time gospel hymns, too, in addition to all the Christmas carols that we've been featuring. Well, we're the kind of people, though, that the Southern Poverty Law Center pretends to be worried about, people who have a love and reverence for the faith of our fathers, people who want to stand and advance those who still live in us, our ancestors, and the great culture, Western civilization. You know, they're not concerned with what happened in New York tonight. They're not concerned about the countless victims of black-on-white violence, victims too numerous to even mention.
Well, that would be nice if they were just not worried about it. Instead, they're cheerleaders for it.
Apparently, you know. But they seem to also be incensed that law-abiding groups like the Political Cesspool and the American Renaissance, Jared Taylor, great guy, have been able to exercise our constitutional rights to freedom of speech and assembly in Tennessee. They actually wrote this article, this screed, a couple of weeks ago. I've been too busy to cover it until now. But here's what they write. Professional racists. That's how it starts. And I should say, if they are hell-bent on referring to me as a racist, I'd much rather be referred to as a professional than an amateur.
An amateur, right.
Professional racists have sought to solve a security and privacy problem by holding their national events in Tennessee. When hate groups rent one of about a dozen state park resort facilities, the press is usually kept out and the protesters are kept at bay by armed park rangers. Though no one in Tennessee state government wanted to be quoted for this story, it was generally stated that hate groups have a constitutional right to assembly. I mean, God forbid. God forbid that the state of Tennessee refuse to infringe upon the rights of white people with whom radical liberals disagree. The shame. Yeah, the media was covering it live from the scene on the Political Cesspool as far as our event goes, to which the SPLC wrote in October, racist Memphis radio talk show host James Edwards hosted a 10-year anniversary event for his program, The Political Cesspool. Dozens of pictures were posted of an impromptu gathering held in Memphis's Nathan Bedford Forest Park the following day. In one image, Edwards, along with the racist Sam Dixon, pose in the park holding up a Confederate battle flag with the name of his show embroidered between the Confederate stars and bars, along with the words, "No retreat, no surrender, no apologies." There is some criticism in neo-Nazi circles about the futility of organizing large gatherings of racists because they usually devolve into an eat, meet, and retreat scenario where everyone argues and nothing gets done. While that generally seems to be true in this contrarian subculture of misfits, criminals, charlatans, and dupes, at least in Tennessee, professional racists are welcome, and the photo ops abound. I don't even know where to, but that's just so ludicrous and hysterical. It's hard.
They say that you are known by the enemies you make, and believe me, if you make an enemy of the SPLC, you must be doing something right, James.
Well, that's true, and we know that, and it should go without saying. But it's first go without saying, they say criminals. First, I should apologize. I get that killing spree you went on a couple of years ago. They finally figured it out. No, but seriously, criminals. You know, there are absolutely no criminals involved in the two groups that I mentioned. American Renaissance, led by Jared Taylor, a Yale-educated graduate, one of the most genteel guys you'll ever meet. The people who attend his conferences are the same as the people who listen to this radio show. I've never met one. Now, unless they're talking about speeding tickets, now I've accumulated a few of those.
Well, compare us with Nathan Brimley or whatever the guy's name was that
but they're
committed
just
this
making
murder
stuff
in
up.
New York.
They're just making stuff up. And I shouldn't even go into the ridiculous hate group level label except in the hysterical slurs except to say that most mainstream Christian groups, which is what we are first and foremost, that adhere to a biblically correct view on homosexuality, they're all getting smeared as hate groups these days. But as a veteran hate group leader, I've long since accepted the SPLC's bad behavior. It's a badge of honor to be hated by them. But, you know, you need to reread these articles Hey, by the way, I looked it up. The word racist was used on average one time per sentence in this article. I mean, can you imagine? So it just goes to show.
And
you
just imagine this, James. The word did not exist until the mid-30s. It was coined by a Marxist in Germany as a way of vilifying supporters of the old order. Well, we are supporters of the old order. But racist, for example, in many of today's trendy Christian churches, they would have you believe that racism is the ultimate sin, but you can search in vain for any reference to racism in the Bible.
Well, right. Well, it's true. And I should say, and in no uncertain
terms. It's a made-up, spurious offense.
In no uncertain terms, this show exists to champion and advance the banner of Europeans and European Americans. I have a natural preference for my own kin and my own culture, as everyone should have.
And everybody does have. Every other racial group or ethnic group besides white Europeans are not only allowed but encouraged to have a strong sense of racial pride and solidarity. Only when white people exercise the same right as other people does the term racism get bandied about.
Well, that's exactly right, Keith. And of course, all of these terms, even though racist wasn't even a term until you mentioned a few decades ago, all of these terms have been turned on their head by the press and certainly anti-white, anti-Christian groups like the SPLC. Let me give you the new definitions of these words, and then you can go back and reread this article and apply the new definitions as the SPLC uses them, and it'll make more sense. Because
insert these definitions where they use the word racist or racism.
All right. Extremist, what it really means is a normal person. A racist is a white person. A white supremacist is anyone who doesn't hate white people. An anti-Semite is any non-Jewish white person, and a neo-Nazi is any white person who openly disagrees with a Jewish person. I mean, in my experience, and the people that I deal with, these are how these terms are applied. And, you know, understanding the SPLC will become much more easier once you apply these new definitions. But while we're at it, you can go to our website where I talk about this major article that they've posted. Yeah, I want to know how violent our event was.
Well, you know, you've given us the decoder ring. Now, this is the decoder ring you need to talk to like they did on, what was it, the Dr. Strangelove or whatnot. This is where you need to break down everything that the left says based on that template that James just gave you. That will tell you what they're trying to do. Basically, they're singling us out, the white people of the world, for discriminatory treatment. We need the same rights that every other racial and ethnic group has to have a sense of pride and racial solidarity, period. That's it. We're going to claim it, and we're going to continue to fight for it. And, you know, if the Southern Poverty Law Center doesn't like it, well, that's just showing you the type of totalitarian mindset that they have.
Yeah, and make no mistake, folks, when we respond to these screeds, you know, in no way are we running from our position. Our position is as strong as it is. But I do like to bring this up to show you the kind of, you know, you want to talk about real indignities, you know, unlike the imaginary ones that the Obamas pretend to suffer. You know, this is indignity. But we're not going to run from it. We understand that this is a small price to pay, and our work is good, our work is righteous, and we will not back down. In fact, you know, all of these attacks only encourage us to redouble our efforts. But the SPLC, it should be mentioned, has been thoroughly discredited by institutions like the Social Contract. We have a great expose that they have written linked at our website. And also the Baltimore Sun, hardly a conservative bastion. The Baltimore Sun wrote this: the SPLC's business is fundraising, and its success in raking in the cash is based upon its ability to sell gullible people on the idea that present-day America is awash in white racism and anti-Semitism, which it will fight tooth and nail. As long as the money continues to pour in.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter, James, is that liberals make up a very small percentage of the entire United States population, but they are well represented in high places. They have friends in high places. They populate high places. And basically, the liberal transformation of America is a top-down, tyrannical transformation. And people need to realize that. You talk to the average man on the street, and you start quoting SPLC articles, Southern Poverty Law Center articles, and their positions, and you'll be faced with rolling eyeballs and disbelief and criticism.
Well, that was their Christmas gift to us, I guess you could say, Keith, another attack. It's certainly not unusual, but if we weren't being attacked by them, we wouldn't be doing our job. The job is being done well tonight and every night here. We're going to take a break. Anderson Cooper, happy that his ancestor was killed by a black man. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.